Right, good morning. Happy Easter again to every one of you. We are just, again, so glad that you're here, honored that you're with us here this morning. We're already off to an amazing start. And I want to take just a minute or so here and actually just draw your attention to these worship guides that you got on the way in. And then I want you to just, if you would, pull out this connection card. And I want you to help me with something. And I want us to focus actually on the back side of this connection card. And then we're going to actually keep this close by because we're going to use it at the end of service here today. But this is an opportunity for us really to just to get feedback because everybody's here on a Sunday. And even if you're here for the very first time, we value your thoughts and your feedback as well. But on the back of this, there's a couple things that I'd love to get your help from. And one of those first things on the back of the connection card is the first one that I'd like to hear a series done on. And then there's a bunch of different things that's listed there. And there's different topics. And then there's one, a place that says other, if there's something on there that you want to hear about, a message you want to hear about, you can write that in. And basically, the reason why we do this is because Jesus did it. In his time, Jesus did a great job of speaking to topics that the people in his day wanted to hear about. So we did this last year, and it was an amazing thing that we just saw happen because we got your participation in this. And so if there's a topic there, check that. And what we're going to do is take about the top probably five or six that we get, and we're actually going to do a series off of that later in the year. And we did this last year and it was just amazing. And so we'd love your feedback. We'd love for you to participate in that. And then the second one, the cool thing about what God is just doing, and we're just so honored that we're in a growing church. And so there's some service times there, and we'd love also just to hear from you some of these optimal times if you would like some of these times. And so again, appreciate your feedback and just let us know. And then there's another one there about a once a month night of worship. If you would have any interest in that, you can check that as well. So keep that close by. If you don't have a connection card or worship guide, you just wave your hand. Our ushers will get it to you real quick. If not, I think we are all good. All right. Well, we celebrate a risen Savior. Here's the thing I'm thankful for this morning is that we don't serve a dead God. We serve a God that's alive and well. Amen, everybody? And so that's why we celebrate Easter, and this is an amazing day for the church. But not only for the church, this is an amazing day for the lives of every single person because Jesus came to earth so you and I can experience life forevermore. But before we get into the message here today, I like to kind of sometimes start off with some humor. And the one thing that I enjoy doing, it's just kind of my own times, I check this out, is look at funny church signs that's out there. I don't know if you've ever seen some funny church signs that some of them just kind of gone wrong. And so I've got a few for you I wanted to share with you today before we get into our message today. So guys, help me out. Here's the first one. Come on, having trouble sleeping, we have sermons. Come on, come hear one. Come on, hopefully nobody falls asleep today on me. All right. Here's the next one. Oh, this is a good one. Trust in God, but lock your car. Keep trusting in God, but make sure you lock that car. Here's the next one. Oh, man, this is good. Come hear our pastor. He's not very good, but he's quick, all right? His preaching's not that good, but he'll get you out quick, all right? All right, poor guy. All right, here's the next one. All right, oh, don't criticize your wife's judgment. See whom she married. Ooh, man. That wasn't my sign, just so you know, all right? I'll make that clear. And here's one of my favorite ones. Here we go, next one. God shows no favoritism, but our sign guy does. Go Cubs. Come on, that's funny right there. I don't care what you say. That's funny. We're right upon baseball season. I'm ready for baseball, all right? Believing for a big Cubs year, right? Well, if you already haven't, you can grab your message notes that are inside your worship guide, or you can follow on the screens behind me here this morning. We've been in just an amazing series called Miracles, and we've been looking over the last few weeks of just different miracles that Jesus did. And our hope and our prayer that really just through this is that it would inspire people's faith, because we're a church that believes that God is still in the miracle working business today. Can you say a good amen, everybody? And so we believe that God is still healing. God is still moving and performing miracles amongst us today. And so we have just been in this series, and it's been incredible. And I want to just draw your attention this morning to John chapter 14. This has been our theme verse for this series here in verse 12. Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, that anyone who has faith in me will do what I've been doing. I like that. I think it's awesome to know that we have a Father that desires for us to do what he's done, but then he takes it a step further and he says he will do even greater things. Everybody say greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father. I think that's such a great picture of a father. And I think that for about my own kids, that you desire for your kids to go far beyond what you've ever done. Amen. And so that's the heart of our Father, that he desires us to go even farther than what we read about in the scriptures, because he goes to his Father and he's praying for us. And I don't know about you, but I'm not just content with where I'm at. There is more to this life. There is more to this journey than I know than what we've experienced. And that those are the greater things that God is talking about, that he's wanting to invite us into that relationship today to experience life forevermore with him. You know, as I was just preparing even for today, here's what I know. I know there's some of us in here today that need to experience that resurrection life and power. You know, over 2,000 years ago, as Jesus, it was, you know, Good Friday was a good Friday for us, but it was a bad Friday for him. Because everything that he endured for us and the pain and those last few hours of the life of Jesus was crazy, chaotic. He endured 6 different trials in an 8-hour period. And by the way, found innocent of all those trials. He went through 4 types of torture because he loved you. And he loved me enough to sacrifice his life for us. You know, on that day, I want to read this scripture out of Isaiah 53:5, because this is a powerful scripture that really depicts what transpired. And we're going to really focus on one part of this verse here today. And it says this: but he was pierced for our transgressions. And that's the part that we're really going to focus on right here this morning, were the nails that were driven into his hands and his feet. He was crushed for our iniquities, and the punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. Here's something I want you to know this morning. I don't serve a wimpy savior. I don't care how culture tries to portray him, but I don't serve a wimpy savior. I serve a God who is powerful, who is strong, and who is flat out a stud. Oh yeah. And that's the God that we serve. The God that who is amazing and he's incredible. And I want to get you to that place today that you know him and you see him as that in your life. And so there's a moment of time when the Romans had taken Jesus and take him to the place, and they took him to a whipping post, and it's interesting, they call it the cat o' nine tails, a whip that was used as he was at the whipping post that day. And they said that the whip, some scholars believe it was up to 2.5 to 3 feet long, 3 strands, leather straps that was loaded with bone and lead. And it was loaded for the purpose of when the lashes came upon the back of a human, that its purpose was to literally tear out the flesh of that person. 39 times he received that, and afterwards, you can only imagine the bloody mess that was at that whipping post when they took him back to the praetorium where the officers had him, and then they go to make fun of him. They mocked him. They spit on him. They said all kinds of things to him. They crowned him with thorns. And then not too long after that, he heads down and has to embrace a cross. And let me just tell you something. Every step of the way, every moment of agony that Jesus endured, he endured it because he loves you. If you were the only person on this earth, he still would have went through everything for you. Because that's the kind of awesome love that Jesus has for his people and for us and for all of humanity. Even those that don't know him today, he died for them. The Bible says even when we were still yet in sin, Christ died for us. I don't know about you, but I'm so thankful for a radical love that can save me from myself. And so he embraced that cross down the road of Via Dolorosa, and he's really just headed to a small place, a dump outside of the city called Golgotha, which Golgotha literally just means a place of the skull, and where they take him, and then they drive the nails into his hands and into his wrist and his feet. And it's interesting that in Roman culture, your forearm was actually considered your hand. And so in that time that they would drive the nails in between your bones. And again, I'm sharing this with you because I want you just to kind of get a picture of understanding the brutality that Jesus went through, because he loves you, because he has a future for you. He has a plan for your life. And so in that place, they then drove nails within his feet. And the purpose of that really was to just provide stability for the body. Because if not, being hung on a cross, you would, because of the impact and the pain, really your chest and your lungs would collapse. And so that provided an ability for at least him to try to catch some breath. So you can only imagine in moments where he's trying to catch his breath, and struggling in the pain. But in the midst of doing this, I thought about this week too, that he's on a cross. And I'm sure they didn't sand the cross. So you can imagine the rubbing of his flesh, or really didn't have anything left on his back, rubbing against that cross. You can imagine the splinters. Bible says that he was beaten beyond recognition. Scholars even say his back was like raw hamburger. It was that gruesome and that intense. But he did that because he's in absolute love with you today. I want you to know more than anything else before you leave this place how much God loves you, how much he's for you, how much he is in this place today, and he desires a relationship with you. So you can just imagine the pain. And so if you're following along in your notes, you can jot this down with me this morning, that because he was pierced, you are forgiven and you are free. Not only does Jesus provide forgiveness for you, but he desires to set us free from whatever we're going through. I'm so glad that he forgives me of my stuff that I go through, because we all got stuff. We all got things that we're working through. And in every area that maybe today that you have even recognized that maybe you feel like you're dying, maybe you feel like you're losing hope, I want you to know that's why Jesus came, to give you hope, to give you a future. And I'm telling you, I want to encourage you this morning to open up your heart today. Open up your heart today for what God is wanting to speak to your life. Colossians chapter 2, beginning in verse 13, it says, you were dead because of your sins, because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Really what sin is, it literally means to miss the mark. When we sin, we're going against what God desires for us to do. It goes on to say, then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all our sins. Everybody say all. He forgave all of our sins. He canceled the record of the charges. We were guilty because of those sins, but because of Jesus, he came and he canceled the charges that were brought against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. And in this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. You'll notice this morning we sing songs of victory because we serve the undefeated one. He's never lost. I don't know about you, but I desire to be on a winning team anyway. I don't like losing. I just like winning more, if you know what I'm talking about, all right? But here's the deal. Here's what I want you to understand. Is he's the God that's provided victory, has paved the way so that you can experience life forevermore with him. And here's what I know, and here's what I realize today, that there's some of us, we're kind of like dead men and women walking. You can know Jesus and still sometimes experience that. Some of us are even in a place that maybe we're suffering some type of emotional or financial, even maybe a physical relationship. We're experiencing death in those things, and we know it, and we need God to come breathe life on those areas of our life. You see, Easter wasn't just about us reconciling us back to him. Easter was a day to experience the forgiveness and the freedom that God has for our life. And so if you follow along, you can jot this down, the resurrection, because that's what we're focusing on today, in the miracle of forgiveness. The resurrection of Jesus is not only meant to be celebrated, but meant to be experienced. And no matter where you find yourself at today, I'm just telling you, he loves you. And your past does not have to determine your future. That God has got a plan for your life. He's got a future for your life. And see, maybe you came in today and just thinking, man, I'll just get through this service and get home. But I'm just telling you, you're not here by any kind of accident. But God has a plan. He's got a purpose for you. We're getting ready to share a story here in just a second of a man in our church that has experienced that life-giving power, that many people called him gone, too far gone to not even be able to reach. But how many know when people think that you're too far gone, God always has a plan? And I'm so glad that even though people may give up on me, God will never give up on me. Even though I may feel alone at times, God will always be there right there with me. Amen, everybody? That's the Savior that we serve, that's alive and well with strength and with power. So as you're hearing this story today, I just want you to open up your heart Man, I pray you allow this story to touch your life. Go ahead, guys.
My name is Brian Mons. Take a moment to share my story. I guess it starts, I've always felt like I've never really fit in. About 14 years old, I went to a church camp. It was the first time I really had my own experience with God. First time God became real to me, like when I sensed this presence, and I wasn't in church because my mom made me. From 16 to 18, I managed to rack up a criminal record that consists of about 7 felonies and 13 misdemeanors in a matter of like 18 months, 2 years. A lot of time locked up, a lot of time, probation, parole. I get another OWI. I got 2 in about 4 years, which is a felony in the state of Indiana. And court's looking at me like, dude, we've given you chance and chance and chance over the last 10 years since you were juvenile. You're like pushing habitual offender. And matter of fact, the judge told me after my second OWI, you got 1 foot in prison. So I get to the halfway house, I mess up, man. I'm about to get out. I'm 1 month from getting released and being done with all this, and I get caught drinking and bringing in alcohol. And September 23rd, 2008, I got sentenced to prison for 18 months. And man, it was like rolling down the highway, hitting the e-brake. I mean, it just stopped everything. Prison, prison. I'm a good guy, man. I've had these experiences with God. I'm saved. I know the word. I've just made some bad choices. I'm going to prison. My release time came up. I get released. And man, if I didn't fit before, I definitely don't fit now. It's late 2009. I'm mid-20s. I have no savings, no money, no job. You know, no license, no vehicle. I'm staying at my mom's. I'm on parole. 2 kids, child support, alcohol classes, and I'm a 2-time felon that can't get a job. And man, when I came home from prison, those first 6 months were rough. But after that, I mean, within like an 18-month period after I got out, I was engaged to my lifelong friend. I actually met my wife at the youth camp when I was 14, when I had those God experiences. So we get engaged. I'm fresh out of prison, man. I have nothing. We get engaged, I get my license, I get a vehicle, we get married, I build a brand new house, and I start a company that's still up and running today, 5 years later. And this happens within 2 years of me being released from prison, like with no, you know, no aim in life, just, but the thing that stuck out to me the most about those 2 years is over that time, during that time, I found myself, the same courtroom I got sentenced to prison in on September 23rd, 08, I was back in that courtroom in the witness stand advocating for another young man that was in the same shoes I was in 5 years earlier. And that doesn't happen. Now all of a sudden I'm starting to have a sense of belonging, but the thing that sticks out to me the most is like, not the grace message, it's not righteousness, it's not how much God loves me, but it's the fact that I can be doing my own will, making my own decisions, literally not seeking God, like avoiding God, not praying, not in the church, like running from it completely. And God will still reach down in the middle of your situation and not only like cover you with mercy, but actually show you favor in your disobedience, in your rebellion. So I got this $20 bill and it's like, if I were to offer this $20 bill to you, I mean, it's got a crease now, but it was clean. It was nice and crisp earlier. But if I were to offer this to you, you would take it. It's $20. I must bless you with this. You would take it. But let's say, like, I'll bring it to you tonight, and I'm gonna put it in my sock so I don't forget to give it to you and I don't spend it. So I put it in my sock, you know, go about my day, go to the Y, play some ball. Get this in my sock, I get to your house, and it's like, oh man, I got that 20, but it's all wet, it smells a little bad, my bad, but we still take it? Yeah, you'll still take it, it's $20, right? So let's say, like, say I remember it's in my sock when I come out the Y, and it's like, man, it's wet, let me dry it out before I get there, so I stick it on my dryer, on my defrost, you know, I get to your house, I forget it's up there, open the door, and the wind just gusts it, and it, like, falls in the mud, it's just muddy, I mean, try to clean it up a little bit, but you'll still take it. right? It's $20. Because why? Because it's just $20. It's worth what it's worth. But in the same way, you know, you might, you know, like me, I find myself in the sewers of life, not belonging, man, in prison, called, whatever you want to call it. It doesn't matter where you've been, you know, an affair, mental divorce, if you woke up in the middle of hell today, prison, whatever the case, you're still worth what you're worth. The value's never changed. And that's my relationship with God.
Come on, let's put our hands together this morning. It's awesome. Man, thank you, Brian, so much for sharing that story. That's powerful. I want to take the last part of this message here, and I want to talk really about even what Brian talked about in that message, in that video there. And I pray that inspires you, but not only inspires you, gives you hope today. That no matter where you're at, man, God is present. And so I want to talk to you in the last few minutes about experiencing that life, that resurrection life, and experiencing true forgiveness that can only really come from the Lord. In Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 1, it says, you, I like how the Message Bible says it, because it's talking, God is talking to you, talking to me. You no longer have to live under a continuous low-lying black cloud. A new power, everybody say a new power, is in operation. The Spirit of life in Christ, like a strong wind, has magnificently cleared the air, freeing you from a faded lifetime of brutal tyranny at the hands of sin and death. Here's something I want you to know. That there really is a God who loves us. And there really is a devil. That there really is good. That there really is evil. And the enemy's real good at always reminding you and I of our past. He's real good at reminding you and I of our yesterday. But you know what God is real good at? Loving us today and showing us an amazing future that he has for us. For some of us today, I just want you to know, it doesn't matter what happened last night. God's not concerned about what happened last night. What God is concerned today is focusing on this moment right here that you're in. As you open up your heart and allow God to move in your life, I'm telling you, things can begin to move and to change for your better and for your good. And the enemy wants to guilt us into shame over the mistakes that we made. But I'm so thankful for a God who's not looking at my past, but's looking at the future that I have in him, in Jesus' name. Always there for us, loving us, being there for us, and encouraging us along the way. And so that's why Jesus came. Jesus came so that you and I can experience that life and life forevermore. Because again, we've all got things that we're working on. I've got issues, you got issues, we all got issues. If you don't think you have an issue, that's your issue. Little thing we got around here, all right? And here's the thing. You know, I was thinking this week as I was putting this message together, my wife and I, we have three kids, and our middle, he's almost 2 years of age. And a few weeks ago, it was just me and Judah. And so just me and him and Bethany, the other two kids, were out. And so he and I were just kind of hanging out, and I was just sitting on the couch, and all of a sudden, I just, you know, just kind of smelt something. You know what I'm talking about. Like, just the aroma hit me, you know, and it wasn't good aroma. It stunk. And I knew Judah had dropped the bomb, man. He pooped. Like, it's just freeing just to say poop in service, isn't it? I mean, just in church, all right? Even if you just once a week got to say it, you know? And so, whatever the case may be, I said, Judah, I said, son, did you poop? And he, of course, no, you know? I was like, the smell is telling me different, son. We're going to go change that diaper. So I get him upstairs and start to change him and put him on the changing table when I noticed, I don't even know why we have diapers sometimes. Lord have mercy. Because it didn't just happen there. It happened clear to the back of his neck. Yeah, and this dad struggles with the smell. I'm just being honest. That's my confession for the day. I'm one of those dads that puts a shirt over my nose and then changes. All right? But as I got him cleaned up, obviously had to, go baptize him in the bathtub for a little bit. But after we got him cleaned up, you know, I just was thinking. I thought sometimes we're like that. We're messy. But I'm just here to let you know, God is not afraid of your mess. And a lot of times we have this preconceived notion thinking that, man, we got to come to God with our stuff together. That's the exact opposite. Religion will try to tell you that, but a relationship says, hey, come to me with your issues and your mess and let me walk with you. No matter what you're going through, I'm telling you today, God is not afraid of any of our messes, any of our mistakes, none of our past. What he's looking at today, I'm telling you, everybody, is this moment here that he's trying to get your attention to let you know how much he is in love with you, how much he desires a relationship. Because it's not about even, it's not about joining a church, joining a religion. It is absolutely and will always be about having a personal relationship with Jesus. And I'm just telling you, he's real good at helping to clean up our mess. And let me even say this to you today, because as I was just praying for you today, I felt like I just needed to say this. And this may be just for one person, but there is no such thing as being too far from God that he cannot reach you. I'm telling you today, he is in this place and he is here. So if you're going to experience life, here's what we got to do. Number one is recognize today your need for help. We cannot experience life until we see that we don't have it all together. I was like, well, Kyle, man, I'm a good person, man. No, you're not. Because I'm not either. The Bible says none of us are good. That's why we need him. We're all deserving of judgment and death because we all make mistakes. But thanks be to God for the price that he paid so that we can have life. And I think today it's an opportunity to just get real honest with ourselves and get real honest with God. Psalm 51 says, I know my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Isn't it true that, man, just like kids are born bad? Right, how many know what I'm talking about, parents in the house? Like, come on, let's get on. Like, they're just born bad. And, you know, I was thinking, because we're sinful at birth, and I'm convinced that that's the case, at least in my house. I don't know about your house. You know, it's just this week, as I was thinking about this, you know, Judah again, man, he's just, you know, that kind of two-ish age, man. Woo, Lord. And this week, all, you know, we're up, you know, we're together as a family, kind of getting ready for the night to end. And all of a sudden, Judah just, man, out of nowhere, just grabs the channel changer. And he looks at the TV and he looks at me. I'm like, whoa. Son, you know, you ain't supposed to do that. And he just chucks it back. I'm not kidding you. And then all of a sudden, phew, and he throws it and nearly impacts the TV, but he missed it. So we didn't have to replace the TV. And I just stood there. I thought, oh, Lord. So we had a little come to Jesus meeting in that moment right there. And then the next day he does it again. He does something different, though. He's watching a little Mickey Mouse on the iPad for a little bit, puts it on the floor. All of a sudden, I just happen to look down, and he's looking at me. And boy, you are testing your daddy. And all of a sudden, he just puts his foot like he's going to stomp on it. I said, what? And he did it again. And he all of a sudden, the tips of his toes, and he looks at me. And boy, I picked him up, and we had another come to Jesus meeting. I said, son, you're going to get this. You're going to get it. But here's the deal. We all make mistakes. We all have things. But God is not afraid of whatever it is that you're going through today, that he loves us with a love that is unconditioned, without condition. That's the kind of amazing love that he has for you and me. I'm so glad that in the midst of my mess ups, in the midst of my screw ups, trust me, I'm not perfect. We're all in this thing together. But in the midst of whatever we're going through, thanks be to God for that kind of love that forgives us and sets us free. You know, it's heaven and hell are realities. And as long as heaven and hell are realities, we as the church have got a responsibility to reach as many people as we can. And I think a lot of times we have this misconception about God and who he is and who he's not. But hell is not a place that God sends people that he's mad at. Let me say it this way. Hell is really a place where people go to pay for their own sins if they want to. Which is why Jesus came, so that you didn't have to pay for your own sins. And all he's looking for you and me is just to believe in him, because he's wiped the slate clean. He's canceled the debt of sin once and for all, so that we can experience life with him forevermore. 1 John 1:9 says that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Listen. When we confess something to God, we're not telling God something that he doesn't know. We're saying what he has already said. really what confession is just agreement. It's coming in alignment with God and who he is. And I'd even say it this way. Confession really just also means that, God, you were right and I was wrong. And it's just getting honest about it. Just being honest about wherever it is that we're at today. And so when we tell him that we're in this place that, you know, man, Kyle, you don't understand my issues and things that are going on. Listen to me. God is not freaked out by your problems. Trust me, he is not up there saying, oh, myself, I had no idea that was going on. I'm just telling you, you're not going to catch him off guard. Like, he knows. He knows exactly what's going on. And so you need to know that he is so in tune with you. That's why he loves you and he wants to walk with you. Scripture says he's promised to never leave us. Promised to never leave us. To always walk with us. Here's the second thing that you've got to do today is you've got to accept God's forgiveness. Got to accept it, receive it today. Most of us in here, I think, have humans for parents, right? And humans, by nature, we just messed up. Like, we don't have it all together. We just don't. And parents mess things up. We as parents aren't perfect. We mess things up. I know I'm messing up my kids right now. They're going, 20 years from now, I'm going to say, Daddy, why'd you do what you did? I don't know. I thought it was the right thing. You know, well, I just know that. Why? Because we're human. We're not perfect. We make mistakes. But here's what I know. Some of us in this room today have even been extremely messed up by our earthly dads and our fathers. And so when we hear father, it's hard for us to relate to this because we feel like we relate our earthly father to our heavenly father. And then there seems like then now because of that, there's walls and there's almost this mental block. And it becomes difficult for us sometimes, I think, to ever believe that there could be a loving father to be present in our life. And I'm just here to let you know this morning, you have a father in heaven that loves you. You have a father in heaven that is for you and that will never give up on you, that will always encourage you, that will always believe in. Even when you're at your worst, he's at his best and will help you. And I think too many people think sometimes, oh, God is mad at me. I'm here to let you know today, if you're in that place and you're struggling identifying with that as a loving father, I'm just telling you today, he is not mad at you. He is madly in love with you. He loves you so much. He wants to be in relationship with you. And that's more than anything else. My prayer today for you is when you leave this place that you realize how much Jesus loves you and how much he put it all on the line for you because he loves you. Micah 7:18 says, who is a God like you who pardons sin and forgives the transgression of the remnant of his inheritance? You do not stay angry forever, but delight to show mercy. You've got to understand, Jesus didn't come to make you feel guilty. That's the struggle. The enemy brings condemnation, always reminding you of your past. And you got to remember this today. God is always standing with you to give you a way out, a way of escape of whatever it is that you're facing. He's longing to show us grace and love and helping us in this journey. That's why he didn't just endure the cross for nothing. He's waiting to declare you're forgiven. He's waiting to declare that you are free. I love this verse, John 3:16 and verse 17. You know, you see, it's funny, you'll watch football games and you'll see, there's like always that guy behind the goalpost that's got the John 3:16 sign. Like, I dig that guy. I don't know if it's like one guy, if it's like it's like a ministry or what this is, but I think it's awesome. But you know, I love verse 17 a lot too, and I think we miss this a lot, and I want to speak this to you if you've never heard this today. It says this, it's out of the Message Bible. It says, this is how much God loved the world, that he gave his son, his one and only son. And here's why. Here's why. So that no one need to be destroyed by believing in him, anyone can have a whole and lasting life. I like this next part of verse 17. God didn't go to all the trouble of sending his son merely to point an accusing finger, telling the world how bad it was. He came to help. Come on, everybody say he came to help. Came to help. So here's what I'm saying today. For some, we need to change our view or our picture on God and see him and understand that he's here to help and he loves you today. Here's the third thing that you've got to do is you got to forgive yourself. Receive his forgiveness, but now you got to forgive yourself. If God is willing, and he is, to forgive us and wipe away our sins, and to forget those things, I'm telling you, and to remember those no more, we've got to let those things go in our life too. I like how Isaiah says it here in chapter 43, verse 18, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Everybody say a new thing. I'm telling you, he's desiring to do something new in your life if you let him. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Listen, I believe you'll never see the new thing that God has for you until you let go of the past. For some of us, it's just like we've been stuck. And we need to allow the past to be the past and to begin into the future that God has for us. You know, that's why I love the Bible so much, because God used a bunch of messed up men and women to do incredible things. He uses ordinary people like you and me to do the extraordinary. That's why I find a lot of understanding and I can relate, because there's so many stories in Scripture. Bible's a good book to read, by the way, all right? But so many stories of redemption, of taking people and their issues and whatever they've been through. And every one of us have made mistakes. But I'm telling you, whatever we do with our past is going to determine our future and where we're going. So let the past be the past. And maybe you're here and you're saying, but Kyle, man, you really don't know my past. Don't know my current struggle. You're right, I don't. But I know he does. And here's what God would say to you today in Proverbs 24:16. For though a righteous man falls seven times, he rises again. That word seven literally means completion or fullness. That though we will fall, even when we step into a relationship, we're gonna trip up. We're going to have issues at times. But the Bible is saying this, even when you fall, guess what? You're still getting back up, because that righteous part of who God is in you is always getting you back up again. Because you can't do this life without God. I don't want to even think about that. But that's what this scripture is saying, that no matter where we're at, you've got to understand it's not just an overnight work. It's a process that we've got to walk things out. You know, we've got many people in our church that are 2, 3, 4 months old in the Lord and giving their life to the Lord. And you know, one of the things that we encourage and disciple them with, it's taking time. Some of them are getting over their addictions today. Some of them are still working through it. But they're on the road to victory, on the road to recovery in Jesus' name. Amen, everybody? And we've got to know it's a process. We've got to walk things out, and we got to be honest about that and say, hey, we're going to do life with you, though, and you don't have to do this by yourself. Even Paul was in a place that he said this, who can rescue me, in 2016 terms, from being an idiot? And he said, only my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because we struggle in this life apart from God. And I'm just saying, whatever it is, let it go today. His purpose is to rescue you. That's why we do our small groups, because we have a saying around here, not doing life alone. Don't do life alone. Life is better in groups. Life is safer in groups. Nobody goes to a haunted house by themselves. I know I wouldn't. But life is better in groups. Come on, somebody. Y'all here today? You with me? We've got to understand, don't do life alone. Do it together. And here's the last one. You got to allow everything that you're hearing today to impact your whole life. I mean, to impact your heart and right where you're at. Let the life of Christ invade every area. Sin doesn't have to control you. Romans 8:11 says, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, and just as God raised Jesus from the dead, he will give you life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. God has a plan. He's got a plan. He's got a future. And here's what I know for some of us. It's like I described earlier. We feel almost stuck. We feel like we're living this life. We don't have direction and struggling. Man, why am I even here? That's part of our responsibility as the local church, to help you find your why, to help you discover your purpose. And we just want you to know how much God loves you today. And you need to hear this, that you are valuable to God. God makes no mistakes with his people. You are not a mistake. God has created you with unbelievable expectation. And he loves you, and you're valuable today. And so this is my prayer for you. In Philippians 3:10, is that you would know Christ and experience the power of his resurrection. Just like you heard that story from Brian today, here's what I'm telling you. that it's never too late to become what you might have been. For some of you today, you're going to make a decision. It's about to change your life. Some of you, you know God's just working on you and you can feel that. I'm just telling you, that's God in his presence here with us today. So here's what I'd like for you to do. For the next 3 minutes here together, I'd like you guys to just pull out that connection card. And all of us, I've asked all my staff, my leaders, everyone to join with me and participate with this. So everyone, if you would grab this. And you'll notice on the front, there's A, B, C, and D. But here's what I'm going to ask over the, for 3 minutes. No moving around. No distractions. I want to really honor this moment that we have here together. And so on this card, and I would just kind of call this a spiritual survey. And I want to explain these to you. And let me say, you are one of these today. I'm just telling you, A, B, C, or D, and you're going to find out in just a second, you are one of these here today. But if you're here today, and you'd say, man, Kyle, here's what I know. Jesus is Lord of my life. I'm already in relationship with him, and I'm confident in that. If that's you, I want you to check A. But if you're in a place you say, Kyle, here's what I know today, man. Man, I know God is, I'm hearing it today. God is moving upon my heart. And I know and I realize today that I need rescuing. I need God to rescue me right where I'm at. I need that relationship you've been talking about. And I want to begin that new relationship with him today. Come on, if that's you, I want you to check B here today. Maybe you're here today and you'd say, Kyle, man, I think this all sounds good, but I'd like to maybe consider this a little bit more. Listen, I've always dreamed of having a church that wasn't for church people. I want you to hear me. I don't think churches are for church people. I believe that churches ought to be a place that you can come in where you don't believe, you don't serve, you don't give, and just come in and say, man, I'm just trying to figure this out. Can I come in and just try to figure this out and ask questions? And my answer is yes. Yes. This is a church, not for church people, but for unchurched people. That's who we are. So if that's you, check C. And then lastly, here this morning, if you'd say this and be real honest and say, Kyle, you know what, man? I don't ever intend on giving my life to God. In fact, I'm going to live my life my own way. So, man, Kyle, why would you have this on here? Because I'm encouraging you to have the guts to be honest and to come to terms for where you're at. And if that's you, I want you to check D. And here's what I'm going to say. For anybody that checks D, I'm personally going to have your connection card and just praying over you. That's all we're going to do. I just want you to be honest with where you're at. And so I want to give you a few more seconds here today during this moment and just no moving around. And once you're done, if you just bow your head, it'll let me know that you're finished. And then we're going to pray. Just remain your heads bowed if you would, and just close your eyes just during this moment if you would here this morning. If you checked B in here today, I want to pray with you. I'm first gonna pray over you, and then I'm gonna lead you in a prayer. And the Bible says just believe in your heart, but let me pray a prayer over you, then I'm gonna lead you in one. I'm gonna ask the church to join me when I do that here in just a moment. But Father, I thank you this morning that you are in this place, that you are present, you are amongst us. Your love is so real. And God, there are people here right now in one way or another that have felt like they're dying, and only you can give them life again. And I thank you today that you bring us out from bondage, you bring us out from slavery of sin, and that you save us. And so today, Lord, I pray that you will move in their life in a powerful way so they can know you personally and experience real life. With every head bowed, here's what I want us to do. I want you to repeat this prayer after me. And if you check B, just mean this with everything within you. Say, Jesus, I love you. Thank you for loving me. Today, I give you my life. I give you all that I am. Forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me of my past. I declare today is a new day for me. Jesus, thank you for loving me. Thank you for believing in me. And thank you for never giving up on me. In Jesus' name, amen.